I am Planta on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. Debuting tonight on Bravo is a new television series, The O'Regan Files. It's hosted by CTV's Seamus O'Regan, and each week he'll have an in-depth one-on-one conversation with a notable person, an artist, an author, or a political figure. The half-hour broadcast will air Wednesdays at 5:30 p.m. Pacific, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Tonight he will be talking to Diana Krall about her new album and the concert tour that she's on. Forthcoming in the weeks ahead are Malcolm Gladwell, Christopher Plummer, Paul Gross, and Paul Martin. Seamus O'Regan is the co-host of Canada AM. We first saw Mr. O'Regan on that old talk TV show, The Chat Room. He was also a speechwriter for Newfoundland Premier Brian Tobin. We'll discuss the program and his career thus far. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Seamus O'Regan. Good morning, Mr. O'Regan.
Good morning, Joe.
That's where I first saw you, was the chat room.
Oh, yeah.
I really like that show, and we had Ben Mulrooney on a couple times in the past. And I told him that my favorite part on the show is Craig Norris.
yeah.
And after a few months after that, I got a lovely note from him. What was it like doing that show?
I look back on it with a great deal of fondness. I hadn't done television previous to that. Neither had Ben, neither had Craig, and that was the point. The point, you know, of that show was to put on fresh faces and people who weren't educated or even, you know, interested necessarily in doing television, and it was to be, you know, a current affairs show that was extremely loose and very much live and very, very highly interactive. And that's exactly what we created. In some ways, I think, you know, I've always said that I think it was a show that was way ahead of its time, particularly with the interactive element, but also the energy that you get from live TV. And, you know, so much of what I've done since and just the incremental changes I've seen happen, you know, in the 7 years I've been at AM have kind of gone more and more in that direction, more audience participation, more interactivity with your audience, and just the energy that you get from live television. And I think, you know, the chat room was a relaxed venue where people felt comfortable, and I think it was just way ahead of its time. And, you know, chiefly, though, the greatest thing about it were the people that, you know, I worked with and met and just kind of stopped on the street sometimes when we'd be out on the street. I mean, a lot of these people are very close friends to me still to this day.
You still keep in touch with people like Louisa, Jen, Roberto?
Yeah. You know, you never get to spend as much time with each other as you'd like, but yeah, we do, and that means a great deal. And Jen worked with us here at AM. You know, Ben obviously is guns blazing and doing extremely well. Louisa just has her second book out. Roberto had been working as a producer over with Gian Comeschi on CBC Radio. Everyone's been keeping busy.
Now, I read somewhere that you'd previously considered being an actor.
Yeah.
Was that the goal early on, to be an actor rather than to go into broadcasting?
Definitely. You know, I really had two passions that, you know, one was public policy and governance, and, you know, I studied politics. I did my master's in politics. And so that's a big area of interest for me. And then the other one was theater, and I'd been doing theater since I was a little kid. And when I was living in Ireland, going to university there, I did a lot of theater, and you know, got to the point where I went, okay, well, you know, let's see if I'm any good at this. I'll try out for theater school. And so I went over to London. And I tried out, and, you know, lo and behold, they said, yeah, you know, they called me the same day and said, we want you for a callback, we want you to come in, and, you know, considered joining, and I just went, you know what, I can't do it. Mainly because I was not prepared. By that time, I'd been exposed enough to theater and to acting to know that, you know, it's just such a risky profession in terms of, you know, making a living wage for yourself. And the people I see on stage and the people I admire, they don't even care about that. They have such a passion for theater and such a passion for acting and for their art more broadly that, you know, tangible things, lifestyle, that just goes by the wayside. And I was not prepared to make the sacrifices that I know you have to make. And so, you know, it just lends itself, I think, to an even healthier appreciation for the artists that I, you know, still talk to and interview and who are friends of mine.
And you serve on boards, do you?
Yeah, I seem to have a fondness for that. I serve on the World Wildlife Fund board, but, you know, particular to what we're talking about here, I serve on the board of the Rooms, which is a $50 million amazing facility, that houses our provincial museum and art gallery and archives in for Newfoundland and Labrador, and it's up on top of a hill in St. John's downtown, and it's just a stunning tribute to the arts of my province. And I feel very passionately about it. I've served on that board now, I think, 6 years. And as well, I was one of the founders of a theater company here in Toronto called the Company Theater that my friends Phil Riccio and fellow Newfoundlander Alan Hocko started up. And we've had tremendous critical and popular success with the pieces that we've put out there, and our latest being Festin, which is a stage adaptation of a film that came out about 10 years ago. And we had in it Nicholas Campbell, who you remember, of course, from Da Vinci's Code,
right?
Da Vinci's Inquest, and Eric Peterson, who Street Legal, and Oscar from Corner Gas, and two of them were tremendous in it. Eric just stole the show; he was just fantastic, and I expect later on in the year he'll be getting awards to go on his mantle for that performance. So it's great because I still have my toes. Dip firmly in those ponds, and it's great to still have those avenues for me. As somebody who has a tremendous passion for the arts.
Did you get back to Newfoundland a lot?
I do. I get back, I'd say on average about once every couple of months. Sometimes even more frequently than that. And then I spend as much time the summer there as I can. So my family and a lot of good friends are still there. So I just feel like this is a long extended commute.
Yeah, after 7 years doing Canada AM, as you mentioned, are you used to the hours yet?
No, never will be. I think you're either a morning person or you're not, and I'm not. So it's work. You just do it. It's a struggle, but I would argue one of the best jobs in Canadian broadcasting. So that's it. That's the price I pay. Once I get in here, I'm fine. Yeah. Once I actually make it to the office, I'm good. But in the meantime, it's three alarm clocks, and they call to make sure that I'm up.
And what time do you get up?
4 a.m.
Yeah, and then you're in the studio by what, 7 o'clock?
No. I'd make it into. I kind of hit the ground running. If I sit down at all, it has to be in front of a camera. So I just have to keep going. And so I wake up at 4. I'm in here about 5:15. Just boom, boom, boom. Let's find out what's going on, changes that were made overnight to the show, breaking news usually from Asia and Europe, because by that time it's almost midday there or the afternoon, and then you get in front of the camera. And once I'm with the producers here, and once I'm with Bev and Jeff and Marcy, then I'm fine. Then you get that adrenaline rush of just working with people that you really, really enjoy working with, and you get it down to a routine.
And you all get along, Jeff and Bev. It's not like the Today Show and Katie Couric was there.
I don't have the energy to fake being nice at that hour of the morning.
Yeah.
What you see is what you get. I don't know. I've heard stories about other shows and in lives past, even this show. I wouldn't be able to handle it. I'd have moved on a long time ago if there was anything like that going on, any mean streaks or ego or like that. I can't do it. I just don't have the energy. What you see is what you get. We all genuinely enjoy each other's company and get along and work really well together. You're just blessed here.
The one thing that I noticed about the program is that the segments that you do on Canada AM, they're kind of short.
Yeah.
And as an interviewer and as a conversationalist, it must frustrate you that you have to be, sort of fast in the morning.
Well, I get it because, I know what it is in the morning. I'm quick and boom, 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 and I'm on the go, and, I'm out the door, and people don't have time for long, extended interviews. That's just not the time of the day for that. We do extremely well, and we have a lot of Canadians who watch us every morning. But we understand where they're coming from. They're getting the kids ready for school, or, they're getting ready for work, or they're just, whatever, beginning their day. They got things to do. So, I always tell authors, particularly artists, whomever, when they come on and they're like, well, okay, so it's, 3-4 minutes. I'm like, well, you know, we certainly make up for the depth of our audience, but yeah, I mean, the breadth of the interview is short, and you know how it is, and almost everybody I know agrees that, you know, that's just a necessary evil. But that's why, you know, I covet all the more and fully appreciate the time that, you know, this new show allows me to spend with artists that, you know, I get to sit down and it, you know, I joke and say after 3-4 minutes I feel like something's wrong. Why am I still talking? Why are they still talking? But you know, it's the liberty that you have when you've got that extended amount of time, and it's great. You know, it really is.
And how did the Oregon Files come about?
Innocently enough, you know, it just kind of happened as a natural progression from Arts and Minds, which I started hosting last year on Bravo, and we were taping these interviews and realizing that, you know, even though we could only clip them for 2 or 3 minutes on Arts and Minds, because that show is, you know, so fast-paced and so good, but we realized there was so much more, and initially my feeling was, you know, to kind of do something that I thought the chat room would have done, and something that I've encouraged that we do here on AM, and that is, you know, just put extended interviews online. And, well, Bravo liked it so much that they said, well, okay, we could do that, or we could just create a whole new show, which would allow us to, you know, take these interviews and give them, you know, the ability to breathe. And I was floored. I went, yeah, that's terrific. So it didn't feel like really doing anything new to me. It just felt like a natural, and it is a natural progression from Arts and Minds. But I'm, you know, no less thankful for that.
Did you research a lot? Do you find that you do a lot of preparation for your interviews? Like, do you have actual files that you lug around?
No, I mean, I'm an online guy. I mean, I was, you know, I was, before I got into broadcasting, I was doing tons of online research at, you know, in Paris, and then when I was doing my master's, I'm a, you know, firm believer in it. And they do prepare research for me, but I'm big on doing my own as well. And what I've learned over the years, though, Joe, is not to be saddled with it. That, you know your stuff, you know, and read the book, see the movie, do all that, but not be afraid to put it to one side if need be. I mean, I did an interview with Michael Ignatieff for Bravo, and I'd read his book, and frankly, I've been reading his book since the early 90s. So when I sit down with him, I really sit down with him as an author, because that's who, you know, I've admired his work for some time and followed his career, and I just find it, you know, strange now that he's the leader of the Liberal Party. But, you know, I see him as an author. And you know, I had a list of questions that I meticulously researched and typed out and then added to and scrawled. And I just realized that, you know, we had a good chemistry, and the best thing that you can do is just put it to one side and just listen and trust your instincts. And, you know, you end up with a far more genuine conversation. What I realized is that the audience doesn't really care if I've done my research and if I'm going to show off on how much I know about this person. What they care about is, you know, a genuine chemistry, and therefore you'll elicit more from your subject, I think, if they feel, oh, okay, look, this guy knows his stuff, and hey, he actually appears to be listening to what I'm saying. I remember, you know, an actor, when I was a famous actor, I was interviewing at the Toronto Film Festival, just said to me after I'd done the interview, you wouldn't believe how many people just ask the question and then just look down at their research and don't even listen to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just complimented me on that. And it's nice, but we all do it, and it's the most instinctive thing to do. If you're enjoying a good conversation with somebody, you're not looking down at their research. We don't do that in our day-to-day life, and so there's a sincerity that people, I think, get when they see you just kicking back and talking, and more importantly, listening.
Now, you have Diana Krall on tonight.
Yeah.
And you've taped the interviews already, have you?
Yes.
What was she like to talk to?
I was genuinely moved. I've interviewed Diana many times with AM, and she is just so happy, you know, and I've seen her since, and just socially, and just said, you know, that interview was really something for me, because you were just so genuinely happy, and she really is. I mean, she's been, the death of her mom really, really affected her, and it affected her even when she was married to Elvis, and even when she knew she was pregnant. And so this is the first time I'd interviewed her, and, you know, enough time had passed, and she just said, look, you know, I've recovered since my mother's death. I've got two wonderful children and a husband who I adore, and life's good. And it's reflected in her art. I mean, it's reflected in her music. I mean, I'm only interested in getting into people's private lives. You know, if you're looking for, you know, scandal, then, you know, this isn't the show to be watching. I mean, it's what I'm only interested in is how their lives affect their music. and or their authorship or their, you know, generally speaking, their art. And you know, other than that, I'm not interested in it. And I think that most people aren't either. I think there's really an awkwardness when you start, you know, laying back into gossip. You know, I think particularly as Canadians, you know, you're only interested in it, you know, if it's an issue, and if it's not an issue, just leave it be and let them have their lives.
Now, is it 6 episodes that you're doing?
Yeah.
And will there be more, do you think?
Well, here's hoping.
Yeah.
You know, if people watch, yes. I mean, I would expect. I mean, we, like I said, we're trying this out, and I'm certainly, you know, hoping that people watch. I think it's, I think these are, you know, good conversations because we have good guests.
You've got a great lineup. You've got Malcolm Gladwell.
Yes.
Ron Mann. He made that Mushroom movie.
Yeah, Know Your Mushrooms.
Yeah, Christopher Plummer, Paul Gross, and Paul Martin.
Yeah.
How did you come up with the lineup?
You know what, it really just happened. I mean, for each of these people, they were promoting a book or they had a new movie coming out. You know, Passchendaele, you know, obviously for Paul Gross, Ron Mann's Know Your Mushrooms, Diana Krall's new album, Paul Martin's book, Malcolm Gladwell's book. So we just took the time to interview them. And then, you know, as I say, keeping this in mind, you know, we said, look, we're not show. Initially, it was, look, this is for arts and minds. But we thought, well, you know, let's really do an in-depth interview. And as I said, we just thought, these are, you know, too good to waste. They're really, really engaging conversations. So let's put them up there. And, you know, and as I said, I was floored. They said, well, let's do a separate show. So it'll run right after arts and minds, which is great.
So it's a half-hour show.
Yeah.
How long do you shoot?
About 30 minutes. I mean, I'm not one to, you know, and obviously it's about 22 with ads. I learned a long time ago that when you're taping interviews, the longer I go, the less control I have over the interview, because then it goes in, you know, to an editor and producers and that sort of thing, and then you have to fight and grapple with what parts you want to keep. Where if I keep it almost to time, then I'm totally in control because that's all they have to work with. They're probably listening to this right now, but I've told them this to their faces. I mean, it just allows me to control the conversation in the interview. So I, you know, like to put on as I like to keep it about the time. So what you're seeing then too is a natural flowing conversation, and you know, I think that actually is the most important thing to me, is that it feels like it's live, and that's what I know, and so that's where I'm most comfortable.
Back to your day. You're up at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And then I see you all the time in these columns, you know, the McLean's column or in the, I guess, the National Post one.
God, yeah.
And you're always a bold-faced namer. They've got your photo on there. So it must be a long day for you.
It is a long day. I mean, we're really encouraged to, you know, you're bold-faced just really for, you know, showing up and supporting different causes or, you know, it's a scene, you know, where you have this gala and that event and you know, I've learned to be more and more choosy as the years go by because I just get too tired. You're always invited to go out to do something, and the network encourages it because, you know, it's good to be out there and it's obviously good to support worthwhile causes. But there are some that are near and dear to me, and there's only so much time in a day, and, you know, so you try and be as choosy as you can so that, you know, you're able to be able to do your job in the morning as well. So I just really make it a point of getting out and, you know, leaving at an appropriate hour and just saying, okay, I got to go. And, you know, people, even if you're on stage or you're emceeing or you're officiating in some way, organizers are very appreciative of the fact that you've got to be up early. And, you know, this isn't a science. I mean, this is something that, you know, Katie and, you know, particularly someone who I look up to, Diane Sawyer and Matt Lauer, and that's what these guys do. And you know, my predecessors at AM, I'm sure, too. You know, you do what you have to do, but you got to be home to get to bed.
So do you nap during the day?
No. I tried it for a little while. It didn't work for me. I think it works for some people, but I tend to sleep very deeply. And what I found with napping was that I wasn't able to snap out of it. I wasn't able to perform as well as I should in the evenings. I wasn't good company. So I tend to bank it up and you know, on Friday night, I'll crash up about 12 hours and try and catch up that way. And, you know, it works for me. I wouldn't recommend it to everybody, but, you know, that's how I get through.
The other thing that people talk about you about is your clothing.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And, who picks your clothing?
It's all, you know what, Canali's been good to me right from the start, so, you know, I get to wear these incredible Italian suits, and I've got a great guy named Bob Dunham at Harry Rosen who works with Canale, and you know, when they have their spring and summer and fall winter selections come out, he's able to pick and choose what looks good on TV and what suits me, and we work together and picking stuff out. But you know, I love their stuff, and you know, it's a joy to wear it. And, you know, there's a certain expectancy that people have of how you look and how you act on television. And what I find is that in the beginning, you know, I didn't pay much attention to what I wore or my hair because I thought, look, it's all about the interview. And then I realized, no, you know what? People, if you don't dress the part and if you don't look the part and your hair is not good and stuff like that, then people are at home going, what's with his hair? What's he wearing? And then they're distracted from what you really want them to pay attention to, which is the interview. And so, you know what, you know, that's what I do. I wear the suit, I wear the tie. I just make sure they're damn good and they're Italian and they're Canale. And that, you know, they make you feel good, too.
Yeah, and you're one of the few people on television, for that matter, not just Canadian television, wears a handkerchief.
Yeah, big on the puffs.
Yeah.
I think Ben and I both, Ben Mulrooney and I both enjoy, and Lloyd, actually, if you keep an eye out, Lloyd, they might be a little more subdued with him, but, you know, he's got a different shift and a far more auspicious job.
Yeah.
But I have the freedom, I think, with morning TV to be a little brassier.
Yeah, I read your bio, and it said that you'd about a year ago you were selected one of Canada's top 40 under 40, and McLean's had you years ago as one of the young Canadians to watch. It must be an honor, I'm sure. But does that convey a sense of responsibility on you, that you have to be an example, perhaps, to young people?
You know what? I don't know. I mean, the easy answer is immediately to say yes, but, you know, both of those were, you know, heartfelt honors for me. And you know, I just take them, I guess, at face value, and I don't read anything more into it other than what they are. That you know, a certain group of people enjoy what I do and want me to keep doing it, and I'm just thankful for that. I think, you know, generally speaking, in the job that I have, yeah, I mean, you're expected to conduct yourself in a certain way, but I find that comes very naturally to me, so it's not an issue. It's not something I really think about.
It's Seamus, it's been a pleasure having you on, and I've been a fan of yours for a long time, and we'll watch you tonight.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Everybody listening, please give it a try. Hey, it may not be everybody's taste, but yeah, please give it a try, because I'd like to keep doing this. It's good stuff.
Will do. The Oregon Files debuts tonight on Bravo, 5:30 p.m. Pacific, 8:30 Eastern, and Canada AM is on mornings on CTV. One of its hosts, Seamus O'Regan, on the line. I'm Joseph Planta.